Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Amen.
Amen.
A group of military leaders built a supercomputer one day that was able to solve every strategic problem. So they gathered for a demonstration as the engineer was excitedly showing them all the gadgets. And he instructed the officers to feed a challenging tactical problem into the computer. So they thought up a hypothetical situation, gave it to the computer, and then they asked the pivotal question, attack or retreat? So the enormous computer started humming and making all sorts of noise, and it hummed and hummed and hummed for about an hour. And the generals all looked at each other, and finally one of them submitted a second question. After the first question comes out with just one answer, not attack or retreat, but yes. So the generals get together and they say, let's put in a second question. Yes, what? And immediately it spat out the answer, yes, sir. So having grown up in a military home, I can totally relate to this story. Being raised by a general officer, I learned a thing or two about authority. The first was not to question it. And the second was that authority was earned. You may have heard that famous saying, rank has its privileges. And as much as I appreciate growing up in a home with strict discipline and strong moral values, it's taken me a lifetime to give myself permission and to understand the value of questioning those things or people that have power in our lives. What we have given authority over us dramatically shapes our behavior. In the end, true authority rests in this very palpable connection between who you are and what you do. The gospel today involves this confrontational moment between the religious leaders in Jerusalem and Jesus. Now, before we vilify those chief priests and the elders, it's really useful to know that just before this conflict, Jesus has come into the temple and turned over the tables in the marketplace. No longer was Jesus perceived as this eccentric prophet who had charismatic qualities. He was now a true threat to their social, financial, and religious order. Naturally, he was going to be questioned by those in authority. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? And in true rabbinical style, Jesus disarms them with a question of his own. He was pulling back the veil to uncover the origins of their belief and their power and authority. He challenged a righteousness that was based upon position and status and tradition rather than a loving relationship to God. Then he told them a parable of two sons, one who said he would do the will of his father and then he didn't, and then the second who said, no, I don't think I'll go, and then he had a change of heart and went and did the will of his father. Jesus always points us to integrity, to matching our word and deed, from authenticity to embodiment. That is what Jesus is asking us to do. And so we're asked the difficult questions. What or who has authority in your life? How are your actions shaped by the power that you've ascribed to that authority? In our culture, it's education and wealth and social status, achievements. Those all can become our gods if we're not mindful. I wonder how our lives would look different if love was the first priority, if love was at the helm of our lives. How we spend our time, our energy, our monies all say everything about what we value. Theologian and author Richard Rohr wrote this wonderful book called Falling Upwards. It's a spirituality of the two halves of life. And he says that we spend the first half of life striving for our identity, to figure out who we are and trying to get that sense of purpose in our lives and achieving and accumulating. And then we spend the second half of our lives trying to let go of all of those things we've accumulated and reshuffling our priorities and relinquishing control. He writes, when you get your who am I question right, all of your what should I do questions tend to take care of themselves. Rohr suggests, however, he has a particular problem with organized religion, because he says that it often affirms the status quo rather than upending it. Jesus came as a prophet and turned over the tables of injustice. He was there to deconstruct a system that was oppressing other people, a culture that idolized power and wealth is what he attacked. Well, guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. Our culture still worships power and wealth. In our success-driven culture, nothing unnerves us more than to encounter our fears of powerlessness and poverty. Jesus comes to turn over our tables, to realign our priorities, to change our hearts. And we can look to the words of St. Paul this morning in Philippians to understand exactly what we're being asked to do. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, make my joy complete, having that same love, being of one accord. Do nothing from selfish ambition, but regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but the interests of others. That's a hard pill to swallow. Thankfully, we don't have to do or be all of that on our own, because Paul reminds us that it's God in us enabling us to do that work of the kingdom. That's the authority we can claim. God at work in us enables us to love beyond our imaginings, to give beyond our capacity, to serve in radical humility. But letting go of what's had power in our lives places us in this liminal space, this place of not knowing what's coming next, which is both exciting and frightening at the same time. You have to walk into that liminal space to make space for new priorities and new practices. And it means embracing the vulnerability of change. There's nothing in our lives, nothing that we have given power and authority to, that through the grace of God we can't let go of and transform our hearts. Nothing. So that is a word of hope for each of us in this scripture today. We start this day a new stewardship theme. We who are many are one body in Christ. we represent that abundance of gifts that God has bestowed upon all of us. Imagine for just a minute if all of those gifts came together with love at the helm. If we were truly to embrace our identity as the body of Christ, we would have to emulate Jesus' attributes, his actions. We would be upending the tables of injustice here in our day. Together, we could challenge all things that don't serve the cause of love and kindness and compassion and mercy. Be powerful. So I invite you to consider this year how you can put your belief into actual action. Integrate your faith and your deeds. Put your money where your passion is. If we're to truly be the hands and feet of Christ, we need all of our gifts at work at the same time in action. God is calling each of us, like those sons, to work in the vineyard. And the question is, will we give it lip service and say, yeah, I'll go, and then not go and not follow through? Or will we say yes, maybe even yes, sir? We've been given the power and the authority to take God's love and give it to everyone we meet, everyone. And we'll do this in the small acts of kindness and in the larger ways, like efforts to be peacemakers in this very conflict-laden world. Thanks be to God for a love that's given to us, not because we've earned it, but because we are beloved children of God. Thanks be to God that he loves us beyond measure and gives us the power to transform our hearts, to change our minds, to say no and then change our mind and say yes. God gives us the ability to love beyond measure, and that empowers us to love the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.